Well, my passage of scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21. And we're going to just look at two verses today because I want to stop and pause and think about some very important aspects of life. Luke 21:5. Some of his disciples began talking about the majestic stonework of the temple and the memorial decorations on the walls. But Jesus said, "The time is coming when all these things will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left upon another." "Teacher," they asked, "when will all this happen? What sign will show us that these things are about to take place?" And these are the verses I want us to think about today. Because here were the disciples, and the temple in Jerusalem was a marvel. It had been built by King Herod the Great. And though he was called the Great, he was an architect, really appreciated architecture. Jesus is teaching, and the disciples are gawking at the temple. Because the temple was an amazing structure. Herod the Great had built it. It had taken up to 40 years for that whole temple to be completely constructed. The stones in it, some of them were the size of the whole front end of this building here. They were incredible. It was an incredible structure. And it was majestic. And there were things inscribed on the walls, memorial decorations on the walls. This majestic stonework with memorial decorations. And the disciples were talking about it. They said, "Wow, look at this." Now, they had been there before, and they'd been there many times. But the Jews were proud of their temple. They were. They were proud of this incredible, beautiful structure that was in the middle of their city. It was something that they came and they admired and they looked at it, and they thought, how wonderful this is. How great this is. Now, let me remind you of other things, but people do take pride in their handiwork and in the structures that have been built, and they do, you know, consider them to be majestic, and they are. And they are beautiful. I mean, even the building downtown here, it's a beautiful building, is it not?
Yeah.
It's an incredible building. When I think about the work and the labor that went into that building to put that church building up downtown, it's an incredible thing. And people come from all over the world, and they're amazed at it, at the structure that was put up there. And so the disciples were the same. They said, "Wow, look at what we have here. Look how amazing this is." And to them, if there was any permanence in life, if there was anything that was going to stand the test of time, if there was anything that would be here today, tomorrow, and in the many, many, many years, and probably eons to come, it was going to be this building. After all, what could knock this down? What could devastate this incredible structure that had been built? Because they felt that God had put this building in place, in spite of how wicked Herod was. And they felt like, if God had put it here, it's going to stay. This building's going to last. It's really going to make it. And Jesus says, the time is coming when all these things will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another. Now, that was an incredible statement when they looked at the magnitude of this building. They couldn't have imagined that this would be even possible. But Jesus said it. And did you know that he said this in about 33 AD? And in 70 AD, Titus came, who was a Roman general. And he came and he surrounded Jerusalem. He besieged Jerusalem. It was under siege for months at a time. The people in there were starving to death, so much so that some of the mothers actually ate their own babies. It was an awful time, a horrible time in that city. Jesus predicted that it would happen. And when Titus came in, because the Jews would not surrender, and they would not surrender, when he came in, he was enraged, and he destroyed the city. But he destroyed the temple. He specifically went in, and he destroyed the temple. And he made sure there was not one stone left upon another. Exactly what Jesus said was going to come. But I tell you this story here. Because when he said this, they said, "Teacher," they asked, "when will this happen? What sign will show us that these things are about to take place?" And so then Jesus begins a discourse on the end of the age. We're going to look at it next week. We're going to look at the discourse that includes the destruction of Jerusalem, but also he goes all the way to the destruction of this world. That this world is going to be closed up too. So we need a lesson. We have a lesson to learn from this, friends. That the things that we think that are permanent here are temporary. That what we look at, what we cling to, what we live in, the things that we own, all of it is fleeting and it's passing. And for many, that brings a shudder For many, that brings great fear. For many, that brings great anxiety, because it's all they have. If all you have is your toys, and your toys are taken away, what do you have left? If your life is your toys, if your life is your things, what happens when you don't have them anymore?
You cry.
That's true. We can focus our lives on our toys. We can focus our lives on our recreation. We can focus our lives on our work. We can focus our lives on the things that we build. But whatever you build will crumble into the dust. Oh, to grasp that in reality. But to understand this, friends, it's a good thing. Now that's hard for us to comprehend. It's a good thing that things crumble into the dust. It's a good thing that we get old and wizened and we lose our teeth and we lose our hair. It's a good thing. And there are reasons why it's good, and I'm going to go over some of them today as we stop and think about the temporary and the eternal. We go to the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12. We're going to read through this. Most often it's read at funerals, but I'm going to read it here today. Because guess what? Your funeral is coming.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm reading it ahead of time for you, okay?
Thank you.
Don't get freaked, okay? But your funeral is coming. In case you didn't know, it's coming.
Oh, yes.
For every one of us. And to understand that, but and be able to embrace it, with a confidence and a joy that God has something better. And it's a glorious truth, friends.
Yes.
Listen, here's what the writer Solomon says, who was considered the wisest man in all the earth. A man who tried everything, who experimented with everything, and discovered certain truths that we see in this passage of Scripture in Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Old age. You getting the picture?
Yeah.
Okay? While the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkened. Now, how do they get darkened? Because your eyes get dim. Because you're getting old. And you don't see things as clearly any longer. You see the picture?
Yeah.
Okay? And the clouds do not return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down. John, Paul. When the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim. When the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low. Why is it low?
Can't hear.
Because you can't hear. What did you say? When one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought. And this is speaking of rising up early in the morning. Okay, looking for the rest of my passage, and there it is. Jumped here. Also, they are afraid of height, and of terrors in the way. See, I'm not old yet. And of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper is a burden. Even a grasshopper is a burden to you. That's how weak we become at the end of it all. For man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed or the golden bowl is broken. The pitcher is shattered at the fountain and the wheel is broken at the well. Speaking about the things that you owned, your life itself is snapped away from this world, the silver cord. The bowl is broken, the well is broken, the pitcher is shattered, the wheel is broken at the well, the pulleys are broken, everything falls apart. You can go into your house, maybe the first house you ever owned that you bought, or the first house that you built, and walk into it with joy. But someday that house will crumble into the dirt. I was reading a poem yesterday that I learned when I was 4 years old. The House with Nobody in It. Do you remember that, Grace?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful little poem. You can look it up online. And it talks about a man who walks by a house. And he said, I always had this feeling, this sad, sad house, the house with nobody in it. And he goes on to speak about how this house a new house doesn't know anything, but an old house that is abandoned was a house that had his wooden arms around the man and wife, a house that heard the baby cry, and that eventually, now he walks by that house and it's broken and falling apart and the windows are falling out of it, and he feels this sadness, this sad, sad house, the house with nobody in it. But listen, all the houses will crumble and fall. Every one of them. The pitchers will be broken. Everything will fall. Everything will crumble into the dirt. Every toy you have will be in the dump if it makes it there. Everything in this life will pass away. Oh, to grasp that, the reality of it. I'm not here to depress you today, but I'm here to tell you the truth. But there is a good side to this.
Yes.
There's a glorious side to it.
Yes.
And I want you to understand that. There is a good side to it all. But we have to look at the bad, and then we'll get to the good, right? So then he says, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. So the picture that he gives here is everything else is going to crumble, and so are you.
Yep.
Got that?
Yep.
Face it. Women, face it, you're going to have wrinkles. It's going to happen. And you can do whatever you want with them. What's that?
It's already happening.
It's already happening?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How much time and money and energy is spent to get rid of every wrinkle, right? How many lifts are happening this very day to try and reverse the aging process? But it won't happen. Yeah, it won't happen. You can stall it. But it won't stop it, right? Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. What he says here is emptiness of emptiness, says the preacher, all is empty. And so the conclusion that he gives is to fear God and to keep his commandments. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And there he speaks about a goad was a cattle prod, or a sheep prod, that's what the nails were about. When the cow wouldn't go where it was supposed to, when the sheep wasn't going where it was supposed to, they had prods. They still have them today. And you give them a little poke, not to hurt them, but to direct them. And sometimes the Bible is written here, he says, the words of the wise, they're like goads, they're like little pricks to get you on the right road. So if I prick you a little today, accept it. It's because I want you to be on the right road.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And further, my son, be admonished by these, of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. It isn't how much knowledge you can acquire either. It isn't that, but it's the taking truth and applying it to your soul. That's what makes the difference. You see, knowledge is one thing, but wisdom is something else. The difference between knowledge and wisdom is knowledge is truths that are acquired, and wisdom is taking that truth and applying it to your life. There are a lot of educated fools around.
Yeah.
There really are. And so we need wisdom, right? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. You see, he covered so much stuff in this passage, didn't he? He covered the possessions, all the stuff that we own in this world. He covered our very lives itself. He covered the necessity of us being guided and directed. And he covers here the idea that if we can just have us be puffed up and know a lot of stuff, that we're going to be, it was going to bring us a lot of gain. It will not unless there is wisdom applied. So let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter, Ecclesiastes 12:13. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. The heart of the matter is, what's your relationship with God? That's what matters, friends. Nothing else will matter. Everything else will go by the wayside. It will be done for. We see some passages here. Look at what Job said. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Anybody ever see a weaver working with a shuttle? A good weaver?
Yeah.
Back and forth it goes. He said, my days are like that. They're swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. And that was Job in the midst of his calamity. That doesn't mean there is no hope, but in that situation where he was in then. Psalm 90 verse 12 says this, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In other words, count your days. In other words, make the most of the time that you have. And he says, Lord, teach me to do this, to make the most of the time that I have. Matthew 10:28 says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And what I want to do now, as I've spoken to you of the brevity of your life, of the lack of control that you have over your own life, and how quickly it can be taken away. I was speaking to Heather yesterday, and I was telling her a story of a man that I knew who was a healthy guy, 40 some years old. He sat down at the table in Marguerite years ago to drink a cup of tea, and he choked to death on a cup of tea. Just the fluid went down the wrong way, and he couldn't get it out, and he expired there at the table. He wasn't planning on that happening. You think he was? Absolutely not. After all, how can a man drown in a cup of tea? It can happen. Stranger things have happened, have they not? Yeah. We have no idea how long our life is, how brief it is. We don't know, but we do know that it's passing away, fleeting away. But in the midst of all of that, where does that leave someone who embraces Jesus Christ as their Savior? You see, if you don't embrace Christ as your Savior, then all you've got is your toys. All you've got is your health, if you have it. How many times have I heard people say, if you have your health, you have everything? And you've said it. You've probably said it once or twice yourself. Yeah. If you have your health, you have everything. Well, what if you don't have your health? Do you have nothing?
Oh, we have Jesus.
If you have Christ, you have something.
Yeah.
You have something marvelous if you have the Lord Jesus Christ. What if everything is stripped away? What if tomorrow we've all the trucks stop rolling across North America? What if calamity comes, which it can? What if this shaky system that has been developed now, so that if you want to eat, you got to go to the grocery store, and if you want to get groceries from the store, somebody has to truck it from Mexico or California. And what if all that stops? What do you got next then? How much time do you have? Oh, well, I got a freezer full. Well, if there's all that happens, I'll tell you, there'll be no electricity either. Your freezer won't count you for much. And whatever you have, what makes you think your neighbor's not going to come and take it from you? Pandemonium. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen. It might. But what if it did? What good are all your little electronic toys in? Mine, I'd be going for withdrawal. But good enough. Good enough. It's not the essence of life, is it?
No.
Nothing. Nothing here is the essence of life. Even the best relationships that we can have, they're temporary here. I can attest to that. And I had one of the best relationships I could ever have had. And what? It's over. That part of it is over. Not over completely, praise God. But in this life, everything is temporary. Where's your focus? Where's your heart? Where's your life? What are you focusing on? The Bible says where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. It doesn't matter, friends. Whatever you do, it's not saying it's all futile in one respect. It's temporary. Get the picture. It's temporary. Of course we should take care of our bodies. Of course we should take care of the stuff that we have. Of course we ought to use the things of this world, but not abuse them. But someday, you're going to die. And the real question will be, where will your eternal soul be? Don't fear the one that can kill the body. Don't even fear death. Did you know that in the book of Hebrews it tells us this? That all their lifetime, mankind has been subject to slavery through the fear of death. That's what it says. Did you know that death has no sting and the grave has no victory for the Christian? Because he takes us to glory. We win. If you trust Christ as your Savior, He redeems you from your sins. He takes care of the penalties of sin. And so at the end of life's journey, we are ushered into the presence of God. And that the judgment that would fall on you for every secret thing that we heard about fell on Jesus Christ at the cross. So you go free. Are you free? Are you free for the Son? Whoever the Son says free is free.
Yes, amen.
And what about this life of advancing in age? Is old age such a bad thing?
No.
Let me tell you something. I'm a lot wiser now than I was when I was 20.
Yeah.
I don't want the foolish boy who is 20 years old, even as a Christian. I want the guy now at 60 who's a little wiser and hopefully will get wiser still. old age produces wisdom. Is it a bad thing?
No,
it isn't. Old age produces patience. Old age produces hope. It gives us hope when we're trusting in Jesus Christ. I'm closer, not just to the grave, but I'm closer to Jesus. I'm closer to the coming of the Lord. I'm closer to the end of my time on this world. God has designed and allowed it to be that your days are numbered, friends. He has allowed it to be so. Accept it from God. You don't have to fight this. You don't have to be despairing about it. You can be rejoicing in it. As God increases you in your walk with Him, as you grow from go from grace to grace, from glory to glory, from faith to faith in Jesus Christ. This isn't a bad thing. A Christian, not only when we get to heaven, but it's a good thing now. Because as I grow in God, as we are willing to let Jesus Christ have His way in our hearts and live and surrender to Him, what glory comes our way. What a life there is to be lived. And even when our faith, our health begins to fail, and even when things go, and even when the most catastrophic things could happen to us, like Alzheimer's, like Lou Gehrig's disease. I sat and listened to a man who had contracted Lou Gehrig's disease, and he was well on his way down that fatal road. But he stood before hundreds of people and testified of the glorious walk with God that he had, and of the incredible peace that God was giving him on this journey, and of how assured he was that he would wake up in the arms of Jesus Christ, and that God would be with him every step of the way. His wife is a dear friend, and watch her as she went through all of that and her walk with God, and how she, in turn, going through the deep valley of suffering, has turned around and has been ministering all over Canada to suffering people. Gently, wonderfully, lovingly, reaching out into souls, because she's been there and done that. We go through deep trials. We go through deep grief. Even I myself have experienced some deep grief. A lot of deep grief. And I only realizing now how long and how deep was the valley that I was in. And yet, I can say my God is still good. Yes. And I can say that it has helped me to be a better person. It has grown me in God. The experiences of life, we can't trade them. Lots of TV shows and movies have done the old switcheroo where you end up being young again. And I love time travel movies and that kind of films, you know. What if I got to live it all over again, right? Right? It's a Wonderful Life. Anybody watch that film, that old Christmas classic, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, if only things had been different. Yeah. And he got the chance in his dream to go back and live differently. And he finds out the things that really mattered in life, they were gone. They were gone. Didn't work out so well. The life that God has given you, accept it from Him. Don't turn your back on it. Don't live in despair in it. But rejoice in the Lord. Is it difficult? Thank God, because you know that He is working all things together for the good to those that love Him. Is it hard? Is it going to get harder? It may. But God is still good, friends. And I can rejoice in Him. Yes, the things that really matter is your relationship with God and your relationship with others. That's what matters. It is a spiritual life. A life with Him and a life with others that counts. Here's what it says in 1 Timothy 6:17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in what? Uncertain riches, nor to, but in the living God. That's the place. But look what it says. Who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now I want to give the flip side of this, lest you think it's evil to own things, or it's evil to enjoy things. Otherwise you'd be all going into some monastery somewhere and walling yourself up behind a wall and getting fed who knows what crappy food and sitting there letting your, taking a whip and whipping yourself and saying, oh yeah, this makes me more holy. No, it doesn't make you more holy. Nothing in this world is evil in itself. Physical world is not evil, okay? The evil is in the heart of man. God made this world and He said it was very good.
Yes.
And it is. Is it fallen? Yes. And that fall is because of our hearts and the wickedness that was in them and the wrong view that we have of it. The understanding, yes, this is temporary. Can I rejoice in a gift? Absolutely. Can I enjoy that gift? Certainly. Richly, all things to enjoy. Isn't that a nice verse?
Yes, it is.
So don't misunderstand me. I'm not telling you that it's wrong to enjoy life. Of course it's good to enjoy life. God has given it to you richly to enjoy, and the things that are in it. But we also, listen, let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Oh, the blessing is in the giving. The blessing is in the real life, is in giving ourselves away. Just enjoying God. Looking for the opportunities to bless other people and to love other people. The joy that wells up in your heart when you do this. It's wonderful. And I'll tell you a little story just this morning. And this isn't to make me something. I'm just telling you because it was so wonderful. This morning I shovel out my driveway to get out. And there's the neighbor's got two cars alongside of me. And you know, I was thinking, the thought came to my mind, water the camels. And you might say, what in the world would that have to water the camels? There was a man, Eliezer, in the Old Testament, who came to looking for a wife for Isaac. Abraham had sent him. And he lands at this place, at a well, and there's a woman drawing water. And he asks for some water. And her name is Rebecca. What does she do? She gets him water, and then you know what she does? She waters the camels. She goes the extra mile. She gives herself away. We were meant to live this way, friends, giving ourselves away. Looking, always looking for the opportunity to give ourselves away, to go the extra mile, to give more. So this morning, as I was shoveling the snow, and there was enough of it, and that driveway is long enough and is wide enough, and to, you know, just to get it all out there and thinking about church. But the verse came in my mind, water the camels. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to water the camels. So I shoveled out their cars. I shoveled off their deck. I swept their cars off. I cleaned it all out, all around everywhere. And all the joy that I had in doing it. And I thought, well, this might put me late. But I said, Lord, you told me to do this. So it doesn't matter if I'm late. They can wait. I'm watering camels here. It's life. It's glorious. Praise God. What opportunities God gives us to go extra miles and to discover the incredible journey that we can be on as we walk with God. It's amazing, friends, in every way. I just noticed a message had come up and I'm looking for it here.
I saw that too.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's here somewhere and I don't know what it's on. Give me a second here. Oh, anyway, it was just a note from the neighbor, actually. And I don't know where he put it on. I checked it. But anyway, it was just a note saying how thankful he was that I would do this for him. Amazed that something that he would do. And even sweep off his car, your cars. It's about, what? Look at the opportunities we have. This is life, friends. Life to the full is living it in the abundance of Jesus Christ, knowing what's important. My neighbors are important. They're more important than a lot of other stuff, aren't they? And it's just a way of saying, I love you. I care. That's life. And it's what Jesus did. He went the extra mile, didn't he? Oh, he went as far as anyone could ever go. He went to the cross to die for us, to suffer for our sins, to redeem us, to buy us back to himself, to bring us into this incredible relationship with him. This is what he's done. This is where the walk is. Listen, as we grow and as we go through this journey of life, we are not going downwards. Not the Christian who's walking with God. We're actually going upwards. It's an upward journey, not a downward one. It's a blessed journey, not a cursed one. All of the experiences of life are working together for the good, causing us to grow and go in God until we see Jesus face to face. Let the temples fall. Let the stones crumble. Let the toys fall into the dust. Cling to Jesus. Discover what really matters. Have him in your heart and in your soul. And then as you do, enjoy the toys while you have them. When they're put away, your life isn't gone. Even your health and everything else that you own, you can set it aside and say, yes, Lord,
it all belongs to you. The old hymn says, which we'll sing in a few minutes, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. You know, the time has come. The Apostle Paul writes in 7:29, he says this, but this I say, brothers, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Now, I'm going to explain this, okay? Because I'm getting married in a few months. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. Did you get that? Are you listening? And those who use this world as not misusing it, for the form of this world is passing away. This is pretty straightforward, is it not? You see, what he's saying is, don't put all your marbles in anything in this life. You have a wife? Things can happen. You no longer have one. You have a husband? Things can happen. You no longer have one. If all your hope is tied there, then all your hope is gone in this world. Don't put all your energy and life in the things that are temporary. And this is what he's saying. Have an understanding. Yes, using, but not misusing. Living. Yes, live life to the fullest. Yes, enjoy the things that God has given to you. But always remember that all of this is temporary. And look for the eternal. Grow in the eternal. Discover the true riches. And go from glory to glory, from grace to grace, from strength to strength, from faith to faith. And discover the upward walk, no matter what else is happening in your experience. Live there, friends. Live there, because everything else is fleeting in its nature. Praise God.